Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I want you to think about it for a moment, and I want you to ask yourself and answer this to yourself. You don't got to yell it out at me. You don't got to raise your hand, but I want you to hear this question, and then I want you to either write it down, or I want you just to ask the Holy Spirit or ask God to show you what your answer could be. Here's my question. How many of you have faced something hard in life? How many right now in this moment of your life and of your time, you are facing a difficult situation? How many right now are at a place in your life, and you could be honest, you don't got, again, you don't got to raise your hand, you don't got to wave at me, you don't got to throw the hanky up, none of that. How many could be honest with yourself right now and say, Pastor, I'm at a breaking point in my life, and I need something from Jesus? I want you to think about it for a moment. Because how many know that we know that we're going to face hard times in life? How many know even right now in this world there are some things going on that is crazy that some of us in here probably never expected or never expected to see or hear, but yet it's still happening? I'm not surprised. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today, and they were talking about why are people so surprised because of how the world is going. And I said, I'm not surprised why they are, but here's why. If they read their Bible, they would understand that things got to get worse before the coming of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I want to prepare your hearts, and I want to prepare you guys with something that I would believe that could change your life forever. If you understand these three words that I want to say to you, here they are. God's got you. We have stood through things, and we have faced some things. And just a few moments ago, I asked, how many of you have faced a challenge in your life? And a lot of us in here put our hand up. Let me just explain this to you. Let me tell you something. God's got you. See, God's got you because he's a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's a God that loves us. He's a God that cares about you. Listen, if no one's ever told you this, he loves you more than anyone else will ever love you. So think about this for a moment. If he loves you that much, don't you think he's got you? Or do you think he's going to just let you run and let you go? Yeah, you're going to have choices in life, whether you're going to follow him, whether you're going to be a disciple of him, whether you're going to do the things that he asks you and be in obedience to what he wants you to do. But here's the thing. You have a choice to make. But here's the thing. God's got you. I've made some wrong choices. Please don't look at me like that. You all have made wrong choices in our life. We know that. I have made some wrong choices in my life, but what I've realized is this, at the very end of the day, guess what? God's got me. I've had to come into a place and realize some of the choices I made were bad choices. They weren't the greatest choices, but something that I realized, guess what? God's got me. Matter of fact, some of those choices I made in my life could have affected my life for my whole life, but yet God had my back. And so that excites me because I want to know something. I want to know that God does got me. I want to know that God's got my back. I want to know that God cares enough about me to protect me. Come on, somebody. I want to know that God cares enough about me to love me even when I'm unlovable. But yet he still does because God's got us. So like I said, how many of you ever felt that way before? How many of you felt that way where you've hit a wall in your life and you feel like you just can't push through? Right now in this place, how many feel like that? You hit a wall and you're stuck and you're just at a place in your life where you're like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through it. This is a hard valley. This is a rough spot. This is a crazy place to be. Here's what I want to tell you. God's got you. Shout this with me. God's got you. I'll prove it to you out of the Word of God as well, but I have a story I want to share with you first. In 2010, 33 miners in Chile were trapped underground for 69 days after a mine collapse. The whole world watched wondering if they would make it out alive in the darkness with the pressure and fear closing in. Many of them turned to prayer. One of the miners later said this, "There was not 33 of us in that mine, but yet there was 34 of us because God was with us." Oh, have you ever felt like you've been in a dark place in life? Have you ever felt like you walked through a valley? Have you ever felt like you walked through depression? You ever felt like you're walking in anxiety? You're walking into a different place, and yet you don't feel like God is there with you. But I need to remind you of something. God is with you. Maybe you haven't been stuck in that mind like those people that when it collapsed. But maybe you felt trapped in your own valley. Stressed by life. Stressed by work. Stressed by how to make it day after day. Maybe family struggles, maybe family battles. Even battling with your own mind, you've been stuck in these places. And these are things that we fight on a regular basis. But yet when we realize something, and I've got to remind you of this, God's got you, and God's going to help you get through this. And while you're doing that fight, guess what? God is in the fight with you, and God will get you through the fight. But see, here's the thing. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm in those moments, here's what I hear from the enemy. You're never going to get through it. You're not good enough to do it. Here's what the whisper of the enemy says to me. You're going to always be stuck. Oh, and God is not coming through. Can I tell you the truth about that? Heaven's backing is greater than hell's attack. So he can attack you all he wants and whisper things in your ear all he wants. But when you remember that heaven's greater than any attack by the enemy, guess what? You just won. Church, listen, we're not walking alone. You're not fighting alone. You're not carrying the weight by yourself. Here's why Apostle Paul reminds us of a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 3:1, stating this: if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against you. I love this verse because it tells me this. Nobody can be against me. Why? Because God goes before me. You mean when I go to the doctors, God goes before me? Yes. You mean when I step into a new job, God goes before me? Yes. You mean when I step into a new thing in life, God goes before me? Yes. Every area of your life, God goes before us. And if God is before you, then nobody could be against you. So next time you're in a place of wondering, and you're in a place of fear, and you're in a place of doubt, and you're in a place of insecurity, and you're in a place of, I don't know if I should do this, or I don't think I can do this, here's what you need to remind yourself. If God is for you, who can be against you? Listen, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people believe about you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. Here's what matters. God is fighting with you. God is for you. God is with you. Guess what? Nobody could be against you. My gosh, church, if we would go off of what people tell us, if we would go off what the enemy whispers to our ear, if we would live our life based on the false things that the enemy wants to tell us, guess what? We would never step into the things that God wants us to step into. Why? He would put so much fear in your life that it would pull you away from your faith and cause you to fall. That's why some of us haven't even stepped into some of the things that God has called us to do. There are people sitting out here today. There are people that come into church day after day, and God is speaking to them, telling them things. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. But you're so in your valley, and you're stuck in that place. You don't step out to do what God is asking you to do. Let me tell you, obedience is the key to your relationship with Jesus. Here's what this means. If God is for us, who could be against us? That means no valley is too deep, no enemy is too strong, and no lie is loud enough to cancel God's promise over your life. You may have been in a valley for a long time, people. Friends, church, we may be in a place in a valley for a long time. We may have been in a place where we feel like we can never get out of. We may feel stuck in life. Even right now, we might even feel stuck, but I got good news for you. If you embrace the truth of Jesus, he is with you, and you won't be stuck, and he will get you through the struggles of your life. But you got to embrace him. You got to embrace his truth and what the word speaks over you. You got to embrace what Jesus says about you, what Jesus believes about you. You got to embrace these things. And a lot of times we have a hard time embracing these things because we live the life of rejection from other things in our life. But yet we can't reject Jesus. We want to receive Jesus, embrace Jesus, and get through the rejection of others in our life. The only person who can help you do that, his name is Jesus. And so we got to embrace the truth and embrace him. So tonight I want to share a few things with you, a few truths that as I was praying and asking the Lord to share with you guys, there's three things that he gave me, and they're called truths. And there's a few truths that I want to share with you tonight because I feel that sometimes we miss what God really wants to do in our life by not listening to the truth. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. We know what God wants. We read the scripture, we want to do what God wants, but we allow that little voice to whisper something in our ears and whisper something to us that's false, but yet we believe it sometimes because we go off our flesh, and I thank God we're learning about our flesh and our spirit in services now, but we go off of these things, and yet we miss the thing that God wants to do. If I could share something with you guys real quick, there was a time several years ago where God was speaking to me about doing something in my life, and I procrastinated, and I waited a little while to do it. And during this time of waiting, things did not get easy, if you know what I'm talking about. Things got even harder around me, getting to a point where it was pushing me away and not doing what God really wanted me to do. It was instead pushing me away because I wasn't walking the obedience that God wanted me to walk into. And so in my life, I was at a place, and God had called us to step away from a situation, to step away from a former place where we were at, but we waited too long. And so when you're in the waiting and you wait too long to move, when God tells you to move, guess what? You put yourself in an uncomfortable position. Here's why. You're not being obedient to what God is telling you. But see, what happened is this. I got comfortable in my valley. I got comfortable in my place of, I'm okay. I'm just going to stay right here. I'm going to receive this paycheck. I'm going to do what God's wanting. And I'm just going to stay here because I'm comfortable. My wife's comfortable. She's happy. And if she's happy, man, I'm going to be really happy. And then my kids are going to be happy. And so on. But here's the thing. Deep down in my heart, I wasn't happy. Because deep down in my heart, I knew I should have did something before I did it. And yet when I waited too long, it got a little rough and situations got tougher. And the opposition got even harder. And the feelings towards each other got a little bit of salty at times, if you know what I'm talking about. A little bit of rough. But then when I said, God, okay, I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to listen to you, and I repent, God, and I ask you to forgive me for not listening to you, God. But God, I'm going to ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to listen to you. And then I did what God said, and then God moved in my life. When Pastor Dan got... when he was on sabbatical, if I could share this for a moment, he got a word from the Lord for my wife and I. And he shared the word with me, and he said, I want you to go to this place and ask God why I'm here. And to myself, I was like, okay, I'll go. But, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't go right away. I think he had to ask me another time, and I think the third time he said, did you go yet? And I go, I'm going this week. But what I found out was this, when I went, God spoke. My point is this, guys. Listen, church, I want to explain something to you. You're in the valley, and if you're in a tough place and God's speaking to you, just do what God tells you to do. That way you don't stay stuck anymore, and you can release yourself from being held back and do what God is calling you to do. But it's hard to get out of that comfort, Pastor. I know. It is. It's very hard. But it's the right thing. God's telling you to work on your marriage. Guess what? Work on your marriage. Work on your marriage so you don't lose your marriage. God's telling you to work on your family issues. Guess what? Work on them. Get healed. Let God restore you so you could become a healthy family of God. Maybe God's been speaking to you about serving in a ministry, or maybe God's been speaking to you about going to school, or maybe God's been speaking to you about going to Bible college. Listen, if God is speaking, just do it. Don't let the valley keep you trapped. Instead, step out in obedience, watch yourself get pushed through the valley, and watch what God does in your life. I'm going to tell you, he will change your life forever. First truth is this tonight, listen to this. The valley isn't empty, God is in it. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong, say strong, and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. Listen, when we go through valleys in our life, seasons and different struggles in our life, we lose things. We have uncertainties. We don't know what to feel. We don't know how to feel. Listen, God is going to be with you. Valleys are often described as a dark, low place that often represents this. I want you to hear me. They represent hardship, testing, or sorrows. Let me explain something to you, church. We're going to go through hardship. We're going to go through testing, and we're going to go through sorrow. But it's this. How do we get through that valley so we don't stay stuck in the valley? Come on, somebody. If you believe that tonight, tell Jesus. You're going to go through these things. But yet, the Word of God promises that we're going to get through it. See, the valley isn't empty. Here's what the valley's full of. Here's what I've learned in life. The valley, you feel like and you think it's an empty place. But what I've realized is this. The valley's not empty. It's a place where God's presence, His protection, and His promise brings you through. It's a place where I meet God. Just because you go through something hard in life doesn't mean you need to give up. Matter of fact, that's a place where you say, God, I need you right now, right at this moment. And here's the thing. When you tell God this, God will show up. He will meet you at that place. Pastor, I don't think He will. Try it. Pastor, I've tried this. I don't know if it's going to work. Do it again. How many other things have you tried in life that has not worked in your life? But yet we do them over and over and over again. Can we try this one thing? Can we try that when we're in the valley, can we try and say, God, get me through this? Can you meet me in this place? I love what it says in Psalms chapter 23, verse 4. It says it like this. Even though I walk, say walk, through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. In ancient Israel, shepherds would lead their sheep through the valleys during hot summer months. The valleys were dangerous, and predators hid in the shadows, and narrow paths could lead to sudden drops. But the shepherds didn't avoid the valleys. Here's why. Because the valley and the green pastures had fresh streams, and the sheep needed to have those things. So the sheep weren't afraid, not because the valley wasn't dark, but because the shepherd was right there with them. The rod and the staff in hand. The rod protected them from enemies, and the staff guided them when they strayed. Pastor, what does that mean to me? Here's what it means. In the same way, let me say this again. In the same way, when you walk through life's valleys, whether it's a sickness, a loss, an uncertainty, whether it's never walking alone, God's presence turns a fearful valley into a place of trust and growth. Valley may look empty, but if you look closer, you will see that the shepherd is already there. God is already there. He's with us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He is in the place where you're afraid to go. He's right there with you. He is in a place where you're in depression at times. He's right there with us. You have anxiety and you have worries and you have fear. Guess what? He's right there with us. He meets us right there. Here's why He's a good God. Here's another reason why. God has got you. Second truth about this is this tonight. God's got your back. God's got your back. I don't know how else to explain this, but He has your back. Several years ago, many, many years ago, there was a season of my life where I had a Kia Forte car. And I was excited about my car, and I was ready to drive my car. My car got me to work. It got me home. I let my kids drive it when they were learning how to drive. Oh, Jesus, help me. I mean, it just got me everywhere. But this car ran good, and this car worked great. And I remember at one time, all of a sudden, I know why Kia has that warranty, like either 5 years or 100,000 miles, because at 100,000 miles, your engine is going to blow up, and that happens before 5 years. If you have a Kia, it's all good. I love you. I heard they make them better. They're a lot better now, but my experience wasn't that great of an experience, and my engine blew up, and I had to go to work, and I had to figure things out. And I had to borrow my wife's car, but my wife had to go to work as well. And so we were in a tough situation. And then I, you know, as the engine blew out, it went to the shop, and I had a friend that worked on engines and worked on cars, but yet I thought, okay, he's going to give me a great deal. He's going to take care of it. And yet, you know, the bill was not a great deal. It came out to like $3,500 for a rebuilt engine. I was like, the car's not even worth that. But I was in a tight situation. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I'm a tither. God, I go to church. God, I'm a preacher of your gospel. God, I'm ministering to your youth. They're coming to your kingdom. God, I'm being obedient. I'm doing what you're asking me to do. I've laid things down. I've cut things out of my life for obedience of you. Like, I just begin to cry out to God. It's like, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't have a way to work. I lived in San Bernardino. I worked way out in Corona. I don't have a way to get there. My church was in Riverside. Like, I had no way to get places. God, what do you want me to do? I didn't hear nothing. Hold on. Has anyone ever been in that situation? Come on, where are you guys at? Where are my people at? Where you don't hear nothing. Well, pastor said if I call upon his name, he will answer me. You're like, I don't hear no answer. Pastor said this, I don't hear that. And then you see the pastor, you told me if I did this, how come it didn't happen? I don't know. I don't got every answer for you. I didn't hear anything from God at that moment. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, maybe I'll fast for a week. I was like, okay, God, I'm going to fast because I need some answers. I need to know what to do. And God told me this at the very end of my fast when I was done. I said, okay, I don't know. I said, babe, I don't know what we're going to do. And I go, let's just pray and let's just believe God for something supernatural to happen. And so God says, okay, call the technician up. And I was like, okay, I don't have the money to pay for it, God. Call him. Okay. Excuse me. So then I call the technician. Call up the shop. And say, hey, I know it's $3,500. And I kind of don't have that right now. But is there something like we could work on? Because I really need to go to work so that I can pay you to get my engine back, to get my car so I can get to work. And all of a sudden the guy says, what are you talking about, man? And I said, one of his workers there, I go, what do you mean, what am I talking about? The red Kia that's at your shop needed a rebuilt new engine. And he says, yeah, we rebuilt the new engine. And I go, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to pay you guys for it. And I'm like, are you not getting this? In my head, I'm like, why are you not getting this? This is crazy. You should understand this. And the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about, man. It's paid. What? Wait a minute, wait a minute. I must have heard you wrong. I need to pay you. No. Your payment for your engine is paid. Somebody called anonymously, said, don't tell them. We're paying for this. We want to bless them. God's got your back. God's got your back. And maybe your situation won't be like that. Maybe your situation will be different. But here's what you need to know. God has your back. I love what it says in Psalms chapter 118, verse 6. It says it like this. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. In other words, man can't do anything to you. God is on your side. God has got your back. When you trust God, you're in his presence. Listen, God is always working behind the scene. We don't always see what God's doing. We don't always know what God is doing. But here's what you need to know. God is the ultimate person working behind the scene for your right and for you to have a place in his kingdom, for you to walk into your purpose. He's working behind the scenes. He's opening doors where no man can open them, and he's closing doors that need to be closed. And I know we might get upset, and I know we might get mad, but God knows what he's doing. Man can't do anything to you. Let me just say it like this. God's got your back. Write this down. God's got your back. So I don't have to fear anyone or anything anymore. I love the story of David and Goliath, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it because it's too long of a story to get right into, but I want to highlight a few things. When David faced Goliath, he didn't rely on his own strength or armor or experience. He was just a young shepherd boy. But David knew one powerful truth. Here's what David knew. God was with him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, it says like this. He said to Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." See, David's confidence didn't come from his ability. It came from God's presence, power, and protection. Watch this. Check this out. Because he trusted God, a giant who seemed unbeatable fell right before his eyes. Why? God had his back. Family, listen, with church, listen, when God's got your back, no giant is too big, no problem is too strong, and no fear is too real. Pastor, what does this mean to me? I'm glad you asked. Here's what it means. Apply this to your life. It means this. When opposition rises, instead of shrinking back, we step forward in faith just like David. We don't trust in our own strength. We trust in God's power working through us. So next time you face a challenge, remind yourself of this. God's got my back, so I don't have to fear anyone or anything. Walk into that meeting. Walk into that meeting, that doctor's office, that tough conversation with confidence, not because of who you are, but because of who he is in your life. I love it how Christine King said it. She said like this, author and preacher and just wonderful woman of God. She says this, the giant in front of you is never bigger than God who lives in you. The giant in front of you is never bigger than the God who lives in you. Church, if we would face our giants that way, with that attitude that God is bigger than the obstacle or God is bigger than the opposition that we're facing, guess what? We would win our battles. Why? Because God is much bigger, much stronger, much greater than anything that's out there in the world. Jesus' name is above every name that's out there. Truth three is this tonight, and this will be my last one tonight. God moves us through the mess. Don't you like knowing that God works with you in the middle of your mess? Hold on. No one likes that, right? Because we're not messy people. No, we're a mess. Don't you like knowing that, oh, but wait a minute, I'm a super Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life. You still got a mess. But I know the word of God. Okay, you're still a mess. Oh, but I lift my hands in worship and I follow my knees and praise God. Good for you. You're still a mess. We all have some kind of mess in our life. But here's what we understand and need to know. I'm glad that God walks us through and works with us while we're in our mess. While we're in the middle of our mess, he gets us through it. He walks us through it. I'm thankful for that. Listen, I'm probably the biggest mess than all of you. Just ask my wife. No, I'm just kidding. My point is this, man. God will get you through that mess. He'll walk you through it. So don't beat yourself up. Don't live in condemnation. Don't feel so much shame and so much guilt that it pulls you away from God when God is saying, it's okay. You can be in a mess. Let me clean you up. Let me freshen you a little bit and let me send you on your way. Because life gets messy. Anybody agree with me? Right, wave at me. Life gets messy. And we face challenges and we face pain. And some of those things become a huge mess in our life. But God will move you through that mess. You don't have to stay there. You don't got to stay in that place. God will get you through it. He doesn't wait until everything is perfect. He works in the middle. Say middle. Come on, say middle. He works in the middle of our struggle. Pastor Stephen Furtick says it like this. God is willing to meet you in the middle of your mess. Your mess, your valleys, they don't last forever, church. Can I encourage you with this? What you're going through right now is not going to last forever. How many of you have gone through something and you've gotten through it before? Raise your hand. Look around this room. How many of you have gone through something hard in life and it was something that was in a valley, it was tough for you, it was a hard thing? Raise your hand if that's you. Almost all of us. How many of you got through that? Keep your hand up. How many of you, okay, look around this room. There's a lot of hands up saying I've gotten through the mess. Listen, you got through the mess because God met you in the middle of your mess and God got you through that mess. Now, how many can say right now in this place, if you're not ashamed, how many can say you're in a mess right now and you're trying to get out? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, now we got the real people up in here. Raising your hand. Okay, I see. We're all in a mess, right? Here's the thing. Keep still. Wait on God, and God will get you through that mess. Don't run from it. Let God meet you there. Let God clean you up. Let God fix you. Let God give you what you need to get you through that mess so you can live the life that Jesus has called you to live. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, one of my favorite verses, because when I was going through a rough situation in my life and a difficult health situation, a lot of you have known about it because I've preached about it and shared about it a little bit, but there was a verse that God gave me that I held on to, and it was a promise, and it was a verse that God wanted me just to get inside of me. It was Isaiah 43, verse 2. He said this, when you pass, say pass, through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk, say walk, through the fire, you shall not be what? Burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That was a verse that I had to hold on to. That was a promise that God gave me. That was something that I needed because of what I was going through. I needed something from God. I had to tap into God's presence. I had to get a word from God so God could get me through the mess that I was in. God will do the same thing in your life. God wants to do that in your life. Just recently, last week, I had a good friend of mine who pastors another church, and he called me frantic. And I was thinking, man, when people call you late at night, and it's a frantic call, I kind of wanted to do what Pastor Dan talked about earlier, hit the red button, deny, but I didn't do it. Something told me, answer the phone. I answered the phone, and my friend says, hey, I need you to pray right now. And I said, bro, it's like midnight. I need you to pray right now. I said, okay, I'm going to pray. What am I praying for, by the way? He said, my son is stuck in Angeles Oaks, and both sides of the road have closed down. I have pictures to show you if they're up there. He sent me these pictures. He said, this is where he's stuck. And they're stuck there with 20 other people, and yet they can't get out because of the weather and the storm and everything going on. They can't get out because the helicopter can't come in at night because of the trees and everything else. They'll crash. So they got to wait till the morning so that they could see again so they can be rescued and be taken out of there. And I said, all right, man, I'm going to pray. And so my wife and I rolled over and said, babe, we're going to pray right now. We just held hands and we prayed. We said, God, get him out of there safe. Lord, he's your son. He's your child, God. You got his back. God, get him out of there. His dad is a minister of your gospel. He serves his life for you, God. He laid his life down for you. God, get him out of there. Help him, God. Just get him out of there. And so time went by, and I woke up in the morning, and I got a text saying he's home and he's safe. Now, me being a little nosy, no, I'm just kidding, me wanting some details, I was like, I'm going to call him up because if I pray, I'm like, I want the details of this. And so I called him up. I said, listen, man, I said, give me some details. And he shares the details. But the one thing that really stood out to me was this. Now, here's what you need to know. His son was a wayward child. His son had known about God, but his son has ran from God. His son has not go to his church. His son has nothing to do with God. His son has just kind of shoved him away because of things that's happened in his life. So he's kind of like that prodigal son that some of us may have in our life or daughter, and that we're trying to pray them home. So he was in that situation, but yet God still showed up for him. And it was so cool how it happened because he was explaining to me. He said, listen to me. He goes, man, let me tell you how God worked in his life. And I said, I want to hear it. This is good stuff. And he says to me these words. He says, while he's up there, there's about 20 other people that were stuck. And there's one lady out of the group said, hey, guys, gather together. It's always those grandmas, man. Hey, guys, gather together. We're going to pray. And she, right, like it's always that special grandma that's like, let's just pray. And then all of a sudden they gather together and they pray. But that same person had food, had water, had a jacket, and had a sweater. Extra stuff. He's coming down with nothing. He's already been up there. He was just doing a fast trip, but then he gets stuck. And he said what blew him away and what just changed him from the inside out, he said this. My son told me this. He goes, Dad, even though this situation was a mess, and my life is a mess, and I didn't deserve this, I felt the presence of God like I've never felt before. Sometimes God does something that we don't expect. Come on. Sometimes situations happen way different than your situation, my situation. I mean, maybe that had to happen in his life in order for him to get an awakening, to come back to Christ. It really doesn't matter. Here's what matters, that he had an awakening, he had an encounter with God, and now his life is going to be changed. So here's what I want you to take from this. When life feels messy, when you feel stuck or overwhelmed, don't wait for everything to be perfect, to look good. Sometimes it's in the middle of the struggle. His presence is the clearest. God moves in the mess. He provides, he comforts, he sends people, and he reminds us that we are not alone. Watch for God at work. Trust that he is not only aware of your situation, but he is actively working through it for your good. I love what our founding pastor, Deborah, says. She says it like this. God will turn your mess, if you know it, into a what? Message. God took this young man's mess and turned it into a message now. And his message is, I met God in a place where I had nothing, and God provided everything for me. He rescued me, but not only did he rescue me, he took care of me while I was in that place, and I was afraid. God had his back. Let me close with this. Valleys are temporary. Joy is coming. God walks with you in the valley. Every valley has an exit, and your valley becomes your victory story. So when you find yourself there in the fight or in the middle of the struggle, don't forget God's got you. Romans 8:31 reminds us of this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Say it with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? That means this. No valley is too deep, no giant is too big, and no storm is too strong when God is on your side. Walk it out today with confidence, knowing the same God who met you in the valley will lead you out of it as well. Corrie ten Boom says it like this, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Come on, church, if you got something from God, let's give God a praise. I have one last challenge for you tonight is this. I want you to remember this. And I'm going to challenge you to apply this to your life. Because at the very beginning of my message, I said this question, and I posed this to you. How many of you are walking through something difficult right now? And almost all of us in this room, a lot of us in this room said, I am, Pastor, that's me. Here's what I want you to hold on to. Write it down. Get it inside of you. The valley isn't forever. It's not forever. It's not forever. The giant isn't stronger than your God. And the mess isn't permanent. Here's why. Because God's got you. And if God is for you, nothing can stand against you. If you believe that tonight, church, let's give God a praise. Pastor, before I dismiss you guys tonight, I want to talk to you for a few more moments. And prayerfully, you got something from the Word of God, and God spoke to you tonight. But tonight, I want to talk to you about your destiny and your eternity tonight. Tonight, you might be sitting in this place and be thinking to yourself, well, I got a long ways to go. I got a lot of time. I'm just a young person. My family genetics live a long life, so I can live a long life as well. Did you know that nowhere in the Word of God that we're promised tomorrow? Not one of us in this room, including myself, is promised tomorrow. Not one of us. And if the last several weeks, we've seen some different events take place. We've seen shootings take place. We've seen churches being shot. We've seen people dying left and right. We've even had people, even in our own church, that have passed throughout the years or even throughout the last few weeks. And yet they didn't wake up that morning thinking they were going to die. They woke up that morning thinking they were just going to live life and go on. But I got to tell you the truth, and I got to be honest with you, is there will be a day where you're going to stand before Jesus. In other words, there's going to be a day that we're not going to be here anymore. And we're going to stand before God. And you can, today, you can get up out of your seat, walk out of these doors, get into your car, leave this place and get in a bad car accident. And all of a sudden the car was racing and hit you and it ended up killing you instantly and you died. Or you can leave here tonight, go out to eat and a tragedy take place and end up dying. You could leave here tonight. We could all leave here tonight. Go home and it's in an earthquake hits Southern California and wipe us out and end up dying. But my question to you is this. If that was you in those positions tonight, if that was you in that place tonight, would you stand before Jesus and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or would you hear, "Depart from me, I never knew who you were"? Now, I know sometimes we think that because we go to church that we're going to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that. And I know sometimes we think because we're a good person that we're going to go to heaven. Listen, being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. You can be as good as you want, and every day you can be good, but you're not going to get into heaven because you're a good person. There's only one way into heaven, and that's this: having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You coming to a place and give him your whole life, your whole heart. You laying down your life and saying, "God, let your will be done in my life, not mine." You receiving salvation, you receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. Now, I know you think sometimes, you know, I'm a good person. I go to church. I even wear T-shirts with scriptures on them. And these scriptures say I'm bought by the blood. And these scriptures say all these different things on them. Listen, those don't get you into heaven. Not even a necklace around your neck will get you into heaven. The only way you get there is by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me frame this two ways for you real quick, and then I'm going to dismiss you. Your first picture goes like this. You come to church tonight. You heard worship. You received something from God. You had a pastor in your face saying, "Hey, do you want to receive me? Do you want to receive this greatest invitation?" And you sit to yourself and you say, "I'm not ready." And you walk out of here tonight and a tragedy takes place. And you stand before Jesus and he says these words to you: "Depart from me, I never knew who you were." Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't that be a sad moment? Because when you stand before him, you can't change your mind there, people. You can't go, "Oh, I'm going to follow you now." No, it's too late. Like, you can't change your mind. Or you go to church. Here's the next frame. You go to church. Hear the word of God. Get into the presence of God and worship. God speaks to you. You know in your heart and your life that you want to get right with God. Pastor says, "Do you want to receive this invitation tonight?" And you say, "Yes, I do." And you raise your hand. And your life ends tonight from a tragedy. But you stand before Jesus, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of God forever." It's your choice, your call tonight. Who should do this tonight if you've been running from God instead of to God? Who else should do this tonight? A little token prayer here and there. Living a lukewarm life. "Yeah, I think I'll go to church." "Nah, I won't go to church." Never really fully sold your heart out for God. So you became lukewarm. Word of God says in Revelation chapter 3, "When I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth." What I want you to notice something is this church, he's speaking to seven churches in the book of Revelation chapter 3. That means he's speaking to the people in the church. We cannot be lukewarm Christians. So tonight is your choice. It's your call. No one can force you to do this. Only the Spirit of God could draw you into a place. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to make it really simple for you tonight. I'm going to count to three tonight. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. Bang, just like this on this pulpit. When you hear me go 1, 2, 3, bang, like that. All I want you to do is raise your hand all over this place. Now I know you're thinking, what, I got to raise my hand, Pastor? If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Listen, let's talk for a moment. You might be embarrassed for a moment, but I'd rather be embarrassed for a moment and look at the trade-off than burn in hell for eternity. And besides, the Word of God says this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I'm a man, there's others in here. But the next part says, but if you deny me, sitting with your arms crossed, I don't need no Jesus. I'm not ready. What, you got a date and time where he's coming? I don't think so. If you deny me, then I'll deny you. So it's your choice tonight. It's between you and God tonight. You know who you are. So if you've never given your life and your heart to Jesus, tonight is your night. If you've been running from God instead of to God, tonight is your night. And if you're a lukewarm Christian in here, tonight is your night to say, I want to rededicate my life and get right with God. On three. One, two, three. Bang. Anybody in this room, just pop your hand up right where you're at. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five. I got you way back there. Five. Got you. Any more, just pop your hand up right where I got you. Six. I didn't embarrass him. I won't embarrass you. Seven. I got you. Any more? Seven wise people. Is there any more? Pop your hand. I got you. Eight. Got you. Any more? Help me out if you see him. Eight wise people. Is there any more? If that's you, just pop your hand up. I didn't embarrass him. I won't embarrass you. It's between you and God. Help me out, ushers, if you see any more hands. Eight wise people. Is there any more in this place? Anyone in the family room, just wave at me. Even you online, you could just put the emoji up. Any of you, any more, just raise your hand all over this place. Eight wise people. Is there any more? Give it a few more moments, and if that's you, you feel something tugging on you, just say, that's me. I want to surrender. I want to give my life to Jesus. I got you. Nine. Any more, just pop your hand up. Any more. Any more. I got you. Ten back there. I see you. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. I'm going to close this down in just a moment. But if that's you, don't be too late. Say, Pastor, I want to get right with God. I want to give my life to Jesus. There's 10 wise people. Is there any more? Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. All right, well, let's give it up for 10 wise people tonight. Come on, let's give them praise. Here's what I'd like to do now is I'd like for you to stand to your feet. And as you stand to your feet, all 10 of you that said tonight, you want to give your life and your heart to Jesus. I want to challenge you to be bold tonight and come to this altar. I'd like to meet with you. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to know who you are. So come on forward. We're going to give you a hand as you come forward. Come on, if that was you tonight, come on forward. Come on, if that's you tonight. And if you should have raised your hand and you didn't raise your hand, come on forward. There's no shame in this. Come on. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Come on. They're coming. Come on, church, just give it up. They're coming. Let's not stop clapping. They're coming. They're moving out of their seats. Come on. If that was you tonight, come on. I see you guys. Come on. Come on. I see you guys. Come on. Come on. I see you guys. Come on. I see you guys. Come on. Come on. Give it up. They're coming. They're still coming. Come on, guys. Come on. They're coming. They're still coming. Come on. If that was you tonight, you need to come forward. Come on. Step out of your seat and come forward. Come on, that's you tonight. It's not too late, church. If your neighbor nudge him next to him and say, you got to go, I'll go with you. Come on, if that's you, come on, come on. If that's you, let's go, come on. Come on out tonight. Wow. Look at y'all. Y'all look good. Come on. Here's the thing, man. Put a smile on your face. Every one of you are about to have a change in your life. Every one of you are about to step into things that are new. Pastor, I don't know if that's possible. Listen, it is possible. Here's why. You're giving your heart and your life to Jesus. He makes all things new. So tonight, here's what we're going to do, and I want you guys just to follow along with us, and the family of God behind you is going to follow along, because we're all going to be family in just a few moments. But I'm going to say some words, and I want you to repeat these words after me. What we're doing is this, is we're inviting Jesus into our heart. We're asking him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. And then after that, I'm going to give you guys some instructions. But here's what I want you to know. If you miss a couple words, don't worry about it. It's not about your head knowledge, it's about your heart. And I believe that you guys were drawn up here by God. And God wants to do something big in your guys' life. I'm looking at each and every one of you. And I just see something that God's going to do. But here's what I want to say to you is this. Give us 1 year of your life. Meaning this. Keep coming back to church. We have many church services here. We have many, many different services. Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays. We have many services here. Young adults, women's ministry, Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, again, Wednesdays. We have service after service after service. I think we have about 8 services, including on a Saturday. You can make it to one of those, right? So I'm going to challenge you guys. Keep coming back. And by this time next year in September, if you keep coming back, here's what I want to tell you. Your life will be completely different and changed from where it is now. You will be blown away with what God does. Honey, there ain't nothing you've done that made God mad at you. God loves you more than you even know. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you think, there is nothing you've done that God doesn't forgive you for and that God doesn't love you for. He loves you more than anything. So I'm going to have you repeat this prayer after me. You ready? Father God, I thank you for tonight that I have this opportunity to give my heart and my life to you. Jesus, tonight, I repent for all my sins. I ask you that you come inside of my heart, that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I'm making the decision to turn away from hell and turn towards heaven. Jesus, I commit that I'm gonna follow you the rest of my life. Tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, fill me with your love and your power. Help me live my life as a Christian and as a new follower of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Here's what's going to happen next, all right? My friend over here, Pastor Joel, man, he is the coolest, best-dressing pastor we know. Look at this guy. Look at him waving at you. He's a great man of God. Here's what we're going to do is we want to offer you something here. You know, when you're in the world, you have friends, right? Friends that lead you certain ways. But here's what we want to do. We want to offer you a faith-filled friend. Pastor, I've never even heard those terms. Here's what it is. Somebody to come alongside of you, teach you basic things of the Word of God. Somebody to come alongside of you who's going to love you, who's going to care for you. And listen, teenagers, listen, young adults, listen. You might have some questions. Here's the thing. They're going to be there to support you and help you. All right? So here's what I'd like for you guys to do. It'll take a few moments. Those who came with you, they'll wait. They'll be there when you're done. Follow Pastor Joel and his team. They're going to take you right over here. They're going to explain it to you. Bless you guys. I don't know, church. Can we take a look at that? Come on, can we give it up for Jesus tonight? God is doing something with the younger generation. Well, let me do this. Let me pronounce a blessing over you guys. Go ahead and lift your hands. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, I thank you for your word tonight, God. I thank you for your worship tonight, God. I thank you for your souls that were saved tonight, God. And Lord, I pray this, a special blessing, God, over each and every person's life, God. Bless them coming and bless them going. And everything, God, they put their hands to, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing it was.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.